13. The Curse. "Anyone want to play Flying Crocodile before we go?" Jonah asks as we exit the Great Hall. "We're not going anywhere yet," I say. "First, we have to fix this. I'm going to help Mr. Beast cook. And I'm going back downstairs to organize the books." Beauty turns to Jonah. "Want to help?"
"I don't really like books," my brother says.
"Then you haven't found the right books. I bet I can change your mind," Beauty says in a sing-song voice.
"I bet you can't,"
Jonah sings back. "I'll tell you what," Beauty says, her hands on her hips. "Let me pick out one book for you. You have to read it. If you don't like it, then you were right. If you do like it, then I was right."
"What do I get if I'm right?" Jonah asks.
Beauty shrugs. "You don't have to read anything for the rest of your life." "What? Huh?"
"Deal!"
Jonah squeals. I wave my hand. Hang on. I'm not sure if my parents would agree to that plan.
"Too late!"
Jonah cries.
"I already said deal! What happens if I lose?"
Beauty smiles. "It's a surprise." Jonah narrows his eyes.
"I normally like surprises, but I'm suspicious of this one."
"Don't be. Promise." She winks at me and runs down the stairs. "And you already said deal." I let them go, a little worried. I find Mr. Beast in the kitchen, cutting a chicken breast into strips. It's one of the biggest kitchens I've ever seen. It has 2 sinks, 2 ovens, and 2 oversized fridges. There are spices everywhere. Basil, oregano, cinnamon. Or is it spelled C-I-N-A-M-O-N? C-I-N-N-A-M-O-N? Ugh, never mind. I look into the empty pan. "What are you making?"
"Chicken stir fry,"
he says brusquely. "Can I help?" I ask. I use my extra sweet voice. I wait for him to tell me to go away, but instead he shrugs.
"If you want to. The aprons are on the back of the door."
Hurrah! I'm in. I wash my hands in the sink, pull a long brown apron off the hook, and tie it behind me. It goes past my feet. "Have you always liked to cook?" I ask, stepping closer and trying not to trip. He makes some space for me on the counter and hands me a cutting board, a knife, and a carrot.
"Chop,"
he says. Then he adds,
"My dad and I used to cook together."
"Is he dead?" I ask, while chopping very, very carefully. One birthday gift I know my mother absolutely wouldn't want is half my finger. Missing a finger wouldn't help with my painting skills either.
"No,"
Mr. Beast eventually answers.
"My parents and older brothers live in another kingdom."
"Oh," I say, surprised. "Is another kingdom the name of their kingdom?"
"Huh? No."
He laughs.
"It's called the Kingdom of Horatio. Only this kingdom has weird names. I wasn't born with the name Beast, either."
"What's your real name?" I ask.
"Mike."
I snort laugh. "Mike? That's so normal sounding."
"Yeah, well, I was normal back then,"
he says wistfully. He pours some oil into the pan. For the first time, I notice that he has only 3 fingers on each hand. Well, really more like a claw than a hand. I bet that doesn't help his painting skills. "Why did you move away?" I ask. "Was your family scared of you?" As soon as the words leave my mouth, I want to suck them back in. How rude! "Not that you're scary. You're not scary. Nope, you're the opposite of scary. You're calming, like a scented candle or diaper rash cream." I don't know where that last one came from. Although I do have vivid memories of my parents having to buy a lot of diaper rash cream for my brother.
"It's okay. I know I look scary," Mr. Beast says. "But that's not why I left. My family was never afraid of me. They pitied me. and they kept trying to set me up with different girls. My mom even gave me her emerald engagement ring to propose to someone with, but I never got the chance. The girls would take one look at me and freak out. One literally ran out of our palace crying when she first saw me.
That must have hurt your feelings, I say, feeling terrible for Mr. Beast. He nods.
And it really upset my parents, he says. So when I was 18, I moved out here to my granddad's empty castle. I changed my name. That's that.
That is so sad, I say, although it is a nice castle.
Yes, he says. It suits me to be in the middle of nowhere. I'm a homebody, and I love the big kitchen. I like cooking. I like cooking for lots of people.
Good, because my brother and I like to eat. And we don't want to go yet either. Can we stay a little longer, please?
To be honest, I do like having you all as guests. It's nice to have someone besides Mr. and Mrs. Butler to talk to. Not sure if you noticed, but they don't hear that well.
He plunks the chicken into the pan. I've noticed, I say. The chicken sizzles. I clear my throat. Mr. Beast, why did you get cursed? He tenses.
Excuse me?
Why did the fairy curse you? What did you do? He sighs.
I didn't do anything. Nothing. Jax, the fairy, just cursed me.
Jax. I remember Mr. Beast stomping his foot and mentioning Jax when Jonah and I arrived at the castle. You must have done something, I say. Were you mean to him?
Not that I know of. I hope not. I was just a regular prince. I had seen Jax around my kingdom once or twice, but I didn't know him well. And then one day, I went into the garden, and there he was, sitting in a tree. I'll tell you what he said when he cursed me.
Mr. Beast puts down his spatula and leans closer to me.
He said that I was too handsome and too rich, and I had it too easy, and that it just wasn't fair. And the next thing I knew, poof, I was a beast.
I feel a sinking feeling in my stomach. So he did it because he was jealous? He nods.
I guess so. Jealousy makes people do horrible things.
My face burns. It does. It really does. What happened next? I ask.
Jax explained the curse. He said I would only go back to my regular self if, and only if, I convinced someone to marry me. The catch is that they couldn't know that I'd been cursed, which makes breaking the curse pretty much impossible, because who would want to marry an ugly animal?
He frowns and covers the pot with a lid. I stand up straight. Mr. Beast, that's what I want to talk to you about. Beauty will marry you. I asked her, and she said she would. She likes you, I say. Okay, fine. She doesn't exactly like him, but she doesn't not like him. And now that I know the curse was because of jealousy, I feel even more pressure to make it right. Mr. Beast shakes his head.
She doesn't like me. She stomped on my foot.
The foot stomping was an accident, I say. Promise me you'll give her a chance. All you have to do is ask her to marry you, and you get your happy ending. Don't you want your happy ending? He hesitates. Hi, guys. Beauty appears at the door to the kitchen. I picked out a book for you, Abby. I have it in the other room. Oh, thanks, I say. I picked out one for you, too, Mr. Beast, Beauty says. Mr. Beast looks up in surprise.
You did?
I know you said you're not much of a reader, but in this book, the main character is a chef, and there are recipes sprinkled throughout the book, and some magic. She blushes. You don't have to read it if you don't want to, but I was looking for books for Jonah, and I thought you might enjoy this one. Mr. Beast also blushes.
Thank you, he says.
Isn't she thoughtful? I say. And sweet. So sweet.
Very thoughtful,
he says. Did you give a book to Jonah? I ask. Beauty nods proudly. I did. It's called Blue. It's about a boy and a crocodile. That sounds perfect for him, I say. Is he reading it? He said it looked boring, but a deal's a deal, and he promised to try it. She grins. He's been reading for at least 40 minutes now. He has? I'm shocked. Jonah never sits still and reads. Wow. Do you need help? Beauty asks us.
No, we're good, Mr. Beast says. It'll be ready in a few minutes. We'll come get you. Thank you again for the book.
She smiles. You're welcome. See? I say after Beauty leaves. I told you she likes you. He shrugs, but I can see he's also smiling. When our stir-fry is ready, we bring the food out to the table. I pop my head into the living room where Jonah and Beauty are both reading books on the sofa. Jonah! Beauty! Lunch is ready! Neither of them looks up. Hey, Jonah? No response. Jonah? He turns a page. Lunch! He nods. Are you coming? He nods. We made chicken stir-fry! He nods again. It's chicken and ketchup stir-fry, I say to get his attention.
Uh-huh.
With ketchup ice cream.
Uh-huh.
Dipped in ketchup. No response. Jonah! I call out. I guess you like the book? He looks up for a second and then looks back down.
I do. I really do. But I only have 2 chapters left. Can I read at the table?
Sure, I say, surprised. He brings his book to the table and almost trips as he walks. Beauty sets down her book and joins us. Jonah sits in his seat and continues to read. This is delicious, Beauty says, taking a bite of chicken stir-fry. Mr. Beast, you're really a terrific chef. Mr. Beast smiles.
Thank you. I had help.
He nods at me. Jonah closes the book with a happy sigh.
That was amazing.
You're done? I ask, shocked.
Yes.
But I've never seen you read a book that fast.
I know,
Jonah exclaims, digging into his stir-fry. What was it about? I ask him.
A blue crocodile. And I know crocodiles aren't really blue, but it's fiction. It's an adventure about a little boy named Levi whose best friend is a blue crocodile. And they meet pirates and mermaids, and they go through magic underwater tunnels.
Jonah's eyes are sparkling. No way, I say.
Way.
He frowns.
But now I'm sad.
Why? You should be happy. You found a book you like. His face squishes.
But it's finished.
Aw. You can read it again, I say. He gives me a funny look.
Why would I do that? I already know what happens.
But it's still fun. I've read each of the fairy tales lots of times. I learn something new every time. Speaking of which, maybe you could read those next. Maybe that will spark some memories.
Maybe,
he says, but he's flipping through his blue book. You can read it again, or you can read fairy tales, Beauty says, and then pauses. Or you can read the sequel. Jonah's eyes pop out of his head.
There's another one?
There are 10. It's a series. Beauty smiles. That's your surprise for losing the bet and liking the book.
No way! Jonah cheers. That's the best news I've ever heard!
We all laugh. Mr. Beast looks around the table.
This is fun.
See? I say. I told you. Does that mean we can stay a little longer? He nods.
You can. In fact,
he glances across the table at Beauty.
I'm wondering if you'll stay for good.
For good? She repeats. Her fork clatters against her plate. Mr. Beast stands up. He crosses the space between them in three giant steps. He gets down on one knee. My heart thumps in anticipation. He's on one knee. Does this mean what I think it means? Yes, yes, yes! Mr. Beast clears his throat. He holds an emerald engagement ring in his furry fingers.
Beauty, will you marry me?